It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielso Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. AFC Championship game coming up this weekend. NFC Championship as well. This time next week, Hans will know who will be in the Super Bowl. Let's go.
Let's go.
Fired up. These are fun games. Joining us now, quality control coach for the Kansas City Chiefs, Alex Whittingham, son of Kyle Whittingham, kind enough to join us. Alex, how are you?
How you doing, Alex?
Doing great. How you guys doing?
Doing well. What's a week like this like for you?
It's pretty hectic, as you would imagine. I mean, really, we just try to treat it like any other game week, you know, just kind of going through our same old routine, but just trying to do every little thing a little bit better, you know. But it's busy from start to finish, and just trying to enjoy every second of it, I guess.
I got to imagine that this team is riding sky high. Just there's plenty of momentum and plenty of things to be excited about. How exciting was it to come out of last week with a win?
It was awesome. I mean, anytime you can get a playoff win, especially at home, it's always a great feeling. And the guys have been working hard all year, defense and offense and special teams. You know, everyone's really stuck together and just tried to, you know, correct mistakes as the season goes on. It's a long year, and you have some hiccups here and there, but the guys have done a great job of staying steady, and I think Coach Reed does a great job of that, of keeping everyone from not getting too high, not getting too low, and just trying to peak at the right time.
So, you know, obviously you guys have played so many big games there with Kansas City at this run you guys have been on and have had so much success. Is it, you kind of alluded to this, is it hard not to treat games differently than others and just say, hey, look, we have our routine, let's just stick with it. It may be the first game of the week or maybe the Super Bowl, but let's just try to stay even. Is that hard to do?
It's challenging, and especially I think for the young guys coming in, and that's why we have really good leadership here. Guys that have been here before in Kansas City, you got, you know, Patrick on offense, obviously he's been in these kind of situations, and veterans on defense, you know, Chris Jones and Nick Bolton's, I mean, gosh, this is just his second year, but he acts like a veteran. And there's good leadership, you know, on both sides of the ball. And I think those guys do a good job of just kind of setting the example of how you operate in this kind of situation and not letting things get too big, you know. And you want to stay in your routine and you do what you do, but you appreciate the moment for what it is and just try to take advantage of every opportunity you get in a game like this.
Is it crazy that you've been with the Kansas City Chiefs and with Coach Reed for 5 years? I think this is your fifth year, isn't it, Alex?
It is. Yeah, it's my fifth year. It's it's crazy. It's been that long. I feel like I just got here. Like I was just playing ball back in Utah the other day. It's been a heck of a journey. I had the opportunity to win a lot of games. It's been a great experience. Coach Reed has been a fantastic boss to work for, and time has really flown by. It's been great.
So when you, because obviously growing up in the household that you grew up in and knowing your grandpa and knowing your dad the way I know them and the types of coaches that they are and the way they conduct business, how similar is what Andy Reid does to what you've watched your dad do and what you knew your grandpa did over the years?
I think there's definitely similarities. Because they both come from that, you know, Coach Lavelle Edwards kind of tree, and they, I think they both gain, they have a lot of, I guess, how they operate comes from a lot of what he did. And they, I mean, there's some differences. Coach Reed is more of a, you know, offensive minded coach, and my dad and grandpa are defensive guys. And so you get kind of different mentalities, as far as like how you play and, how things go. But you can definitely tell there's some similarities, but I think there is some unique things on both sides that, you know, as a young coach myself, I try to gather as much as I can. Obviously, being around my dad for 30 years, I've got a lot from him, and I think Coach Reed does a lot of great things, obviously, as well, so I try to pick up some of his traits as I go along here.
What's a day in the life of a quality control coach like?
It's probably pretty mundane to the to the average fan. In my specific role, I'm in I handle all the film breakdown. So first thing Monday morning, you know, I'm starting on either the team we're playing, looking ahead at other opponents, breaking down film, you know, getting it all categorized and whatnot for the position coaches and coordinators to look at. And then my specific role is I work with the linebackers on our defense. And so our linebacker coach, Coach Brendan Daly here, anything that he, you know, needs in any way at practice or for his meetings and whatnot, I'm kind of his guy that will help out with that. And just, I don't know, like doing the little things, any little projects that maybe our coordinator, Coach Spagnuolo, needs, building tapes, just kind of little things that fans probably wouldn't really think about, and you don't notice it on game day. It's just kind of getting stuff behind the scenes rolling a little bit is my main thing.
So are you going to be attached to the NFL throughout your coaching career, or do you leave that open? Is that something where if a college team were to call you up and say, hey, come be our coordinator or come be our linebackers coach, are you open to moving back into the college world, or are you pretty set on being in the NFL?
That is a great question. I don't know. College has changed a lot since even when I was in it just 5 years ago. I try not to think too far ahead from what I'm doing. I mean, if opportunity comes up down the road, I'll approach that when it comes, but kind of at the moment, you know, the boring answer would be that I'm trying to give the best I can in the things I'm doing, just trying to learn in every way possible. I mean, it's hard because, like, the coaching life, you see so many coaches kind of bounce around and get fired and move from place to place. And the way the coaching that I witnessed, you know, my dad was being at Utah for forever. And so that's kind of the way I see it, not to make, you know, any assumptions about my time here. But I don't know, just trying to take it day by day and learn as much as I can and take it as it comes.
Do you, I mean, obviously, this is a team that has had a really tremendous amount of success with some really great veterans. What is it that just makes this team go the way that is it? I mean, obviously, it's a combination of players and coaches, but when you have that chemistry, what is it about that team that makes it as successful as it's been over this last, you know, 6-7 year stretch?
Yeah, it's a combination of a couple of different things, I would think. I mean, it starts, of course, at the top with Coach Reed, who's been he's a Hall of Fame head coach, and that goes without explanation. He's been consistent for so long, and he definitely sets the tone for the staff, for the players, for everybody. And it's just, you know, we work hard, and obviously, and play hard on game day, but also at the same time, Coach is big on, you know, letting guys let their personality show and just kind of being themselves. And I think that allows the players to play loose and play well and have fun out there. And I think that's been one of the kind of main things that's helped us be successful. And then, you know, Patrick obviously goes out there and does his thing, and that always helps. But, yeah, just working hard when the time calls for it, and also just letting the guys play loose and feel comfortable out there on the field.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are. and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
You have a unique perspective of Patrick Mahomes over the years, being able to watch him in preparation and in games. So, Coach, what is it that separates, in your opinion, separates him from other quarterbacks? What is it that makes him so great?
Well, he's got the, you know, the natural ability, of course. He's blessed in many different ways as far as quarterback tools. But since, I mean, I got here in 2018, and Alex Smith had just left. And I know that Alex had a big effect on him on how to be a pro and how to study and prepare for games. And ever since I've been around him, he is, you know, he's a guy that goes 100% at practice every single day. He doesn't take days off. He doesn't mess around. You know, I mean, he's a fun kind of loose guy off the field, but when we get out there, he's someone that, you know, takes practice very serious and expects a lot out of the guys around him, both offensively and defensively, and just does a great job of leading everybody by example. And also he's gotten more vocal as the years have gone on, and does a great job of leading that way.
There for a moment, you know, there was a lot of conversations. If the Bills won, you'd be playing in a neutral site game. Now you get to play it at home in an AFC championship game. Was it kind of weird trying to prepare for, you know, try to figure out, okay, we could be here, we could be there? What was that 24 hours like before you actually found out where you were going?
Yeah, there was some discussion there of possibly having to go somewhere for this next game. I'm glad it worked out the way it did. I mean, there's only so much you can think about as a coach. Like, we just kind of prepare for whoever shows up the next week and just try to play our best game when the time comes. And I mean, there's so much going on around the building, just getting guys ready to play and trying to get the game plan in and get everything set, that you don't really have time to think about anything beyond that, honestly.
So yesterday, Scotty and I, we were having a discussion of some of these great tight ends in the league and what separates them. Just watching Kittle do his thing with San Francisco make Purdy look really good. And obviously Travis Kelce is that for Kansas City. And we were having the back and forth of, do you just not have enough athletes to make these types of targets and these types of tight ends? Or is it about the tight end usage and that guy finding the right system at the right time? And I can't put my finger on it, but where you work with linebackers and you have to watch your linebackers work against Travis Kelce, what is it that separates a Travis Kelce from, let's say, 15 or 20 other well-built tight ends that never find their stride in the league?
Yeah. I think Travis has like a feel for finding his way through zones that I haven't seen from, you know, any other player, receiver, tight end, anyone, any type of pass catcher like that. He's able to, you know, pick a defensive zone apart. He's a veteran. He's seen all the different coverages you could throw at him. and just, I guess, part of it is his experience. I mean, he is athletic, not to say that he's not an athlete. He's got a big body. But again, just kind of similar to the way Patrick is, he grinds every day. He's a hard worker. He is going 100% in practice. And I think what he does in practice has a part in what shows up on game day, because he goes hard against the defensive scout team. If, you know, I help out with the defensive scout team, I run those linebackers out there for the scout look. And if they're not doing the coverage that Travis knows it's supposed to be played like, he's going to let him know. And, you know, I think that has a part in it. And we have walkthroughs on Tuesday mornings, and after that walkthrough, there's usually at least one guy catching jugs right after the walkthrough, and it's Travis, you know, week in and week out. So just a persistent work ethic, natural ability, and, you know, just being a big dude.
And that's definitely what you see from Travis Kelce. He finds those gaps, and he can do those things. It just seems so different. Is that something that you can coach into a player, Alex? Is that something that you can take a tight end and coach him how to break down these zones and how to use his route running and his speed to break down these zones? Or is there a bit of an innate built-in ability to do that by a unique guy like Travis Kelce?
I think that it's got to be, you know, built into you a little bit. Like, not just anyone has that, you know, the feel for route running and whatnot as he does. But you got to give credit to, you know, Coach Tom Melvin, our tight ends coach, and Coach Reed, and you know, the whole offensive side of the ball, the schemes that they come up with. You know, they do their thing on offense, and they come up with a plan each week that's, you know, scheming Travis to get open. And he's had, you know, the numbers show over the years since Coach Reed's been here how successful they are at doing that. And I guess to answer your question, it's pretty much a combination of both. But coaching and player-wise, you know, they're doing it at a high level, I'd say.
When Chad Henne stepped on the field against Jacksonville to take some reps, was anybody surprised with his success? Jumping on the field, leading the drive, finding the end zone, going 5 of 7 and getting the touchdown. Was anybody surprised? Or was everybody kind of looking at Chad like, yeah, we know he can do it?
Oh, not surprised at all. I mean, the dude comes in, goes 98 yards, and then refuses to elaborate and leaves and doesn't do anything. Patrick comes in and takes over, and it's like, what the heck was that? Just goes 98 yards. No, Travis.
It was crazy.
Chad. Yeah, I mean, Chad's been so good to have in the building, and he's been here for a couple of years now, and he kind of has taken over that role that Alex Smith had for Patrick as being kind of that veteran leader. And so Chad is a humble dude. I mean, he's out there for our scout offense, you know, throwing balls for our defense on scout O, and he does that every week. And he's very well respected by the whole team. And so when he goes in, like, we have no concern about what's going to happen because he's shown time and time again. I mean, go back to we played the Browns in the playoffs. I think it was the COVID year. And Chad had to come in at the end and converted a huge 4th-and-1 to seal that game. And so he's done it before. He's been around. If you know, when he's called upon to go in the game, there's no, like, we know on the sidelines that things are going to be all right.
Well, Alex, we appreciate your time. Good luck this weekend, and look forward to catching up again here soon.
Great stuff, Coach. Thank you.
Yeah, great. Thanks, guys. Thanks for talking. Yeah,
absolutely.
Good chat. Alex Whittingham, quality control coach for the Kansas City Chiefs as they make their preparation for the AFC Championship game.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.